Welcome into a Monday edition of Wager Watch. I am Doug Kazarian. Impressive win by Denver last night. In fact, both series yesterday are now 2-2. How about tonight? Underdogs have to win outright to get those series 2-2. Interesting betting angles for those, but I'm all about the props. And frankly, I'm a little scared how much I like them. And we have a legit shot at a 19-1 payout. I'll get into all that and much more. Mariah's in the house. Come join us.
We are talking marquee matchups in the NBA conference semifinals. We're looking at Thunder at Mavs. It's game four, Dallas with a 2-1 lead in this series, and they're favored once again by 1.5 with the total at 214.5.
Just like we saw in game three, the steam came in on the dog, the OKC, and they were not up to the task. And then it's coming again. So the question is, do you believe in Dallas's ability to win three straight? So much of the playoffs just throughout, you know, the NBA history is like an ebb and flow when teams are relatively evenly matched. So we're asking the dog coming into the series, the road team, right, the lower seeded team, to win three straight. So that's why it's a 1.5 point spread as opposed to like 3.5, which is maybe what we saw opener on for game three. I mean, look, I've taken the bait on the Thunder for these back-to-back games and I've been dead wrong. So after game one, I pressed on OKC in the series because I just thought they had too much firepower. Luka's banged up knee. And it's the same old Mavs, but it's really not because of Kyrie. Kyrie being able to take over a game, and Luka still got 15 rebounds in the last game. His shot volume there, it's a little off. Obviously, he's not hitting all his threes, but he's clearly banged up. But this OKC team is almost like the Mavs of 2-3 years ago when they just had Luka, and that's SGA, and he really isn't getting the right supporting cast to step up and deliver in playoff moments. Like, that's the thing. In game one, they did. So they had started the playoffs 5-0, right? Swept the Pelicans. Game one, they won by 20. And it's like, okay, this team's legit. They're the one seed for a reason, blah, blah, blah. But Dallas is making them work on defense. PJ Washington has emerged. So I'm really torn here. I lean Thunder, but, you know, at some point, you just got to let it go and not just keep dumping money on the wrong team. Even if your read's wrong on this, you just have to let it go.
All right. What about the total? It's at 214.5. Is that the right number?
I think so. It's under a pass for me. These teams love the three, and you want to think Luka's going to get going and hit some of these threes, and Jason Kidd's pushing all the right buttons. I would say this. I would say the second half unders, or even if you want to wait a little longer and go fourth quarter unders, these games are seemingly dying. Game one, which ended up being a blowout, some of the scrubs came in, but that was 44 points in the fourth quarter. Game two, which, you know, had a high scoring, it landed 229, but it died only 41 points in the fourth. So, you know, it just really died. And then game three had 46, which is what I expect for game four. And you're going to get a 51-ish. Now, look, it doesn't feel like a lot because, oh, that's just back-to-back three. But like just the math of the 12-minute, it's like an extra 90 seconds barring crazy fouling at the end. So, yeah, I would look to bet the fourth quarter unders on some of these. Obviously, a lot depends on how the game is going. But, man, it's, you know, you're just waiting for the Thunder to finally catch fire. And maybe they do eventually in game four, but it may not happen just because the Dallas' defense is so far improved. And the youth of this team might be getting exposed. It might be coming to the surface during the playoffs, at least.
Okay, so there you have it. We took care of the side. We took care of the total and quarter total. So do what you will with that for the marquee matchup between the Thunder and the Mavs. The NBA playoffs are in full swing, and we are giving props to the players on the court, specifically in that OKC-Dallas matchup. Let's just go down the list here. First of all, we got Luka. He's clearly not the healthiest right now, but he's still performing. So what kind of props are you looking at with him?
Yeah, and his prop numbers are still at the same level we would expect, maybe a point or two low. So like his points prop is 29.5, whereas maybe if you were healthy, like game one, I think it was like 30.5, 31.5, because even though he's not hitting, like the volume of shots are still there. He's like 1 of 8 from three in one of these games. So you just imagine, like, it's in and out. Now, obviously, give credit to OKC's deep. He's clearly banged up. He's gimping around. He's not faking and embellishing it. Like, he's obviously been nicked up a couple times in this series. But Lou Dort's been fantastic on him, and then the help's been on him. But what that's done is create opportunities for others. But, I mean, he had 15 rebounds in the last game. So his prop of 9.5, but he went under 9.5 the others, I believe. So I'm looking at the under 29.5, but I would just encourage everyone to just give it a rest and pass because the shot volume is there. He's still Like, they're not biting on all his fakes, and he's not drawing triple teams and kicking it out. Like, he'll have opportunities to pass, but it's the volume's there, but he's still not 100%. So it's tempting both over and under. Because he's not 100%, he almost tempted to go under. But I think it's just going to be right on the number. So there's going to be better opportunities for props.
And speaking of Kyrie Irving, he's been a little slow out of the gate. So, but he's gone off in the second half. So first quarter under, because you can bet these players by quarters, just like the game itself. So is the first quarter under appealing?
I think it is. So one thing I've done also is you can bet some second half player point props in game at halftime. They'll post some player props. I would play overs. But I do think the first quarter unders. But the problem is like, how dumb do you feel if Kyrie starts going off and it's vintage Kyrie? But, I mean, to case in point, Jalen Brunson's had these huge props. His first quarter props the last couple games were 8.5, and he had like one, I think, in each of the first quarters in the games in Indy. So I think in this game, I mean, if Kyrie's like letting the game come to him, they ran the first play, I believe it was game three, like off the tip or whatever, they ran a play for PJ Washington for a dunk. Like, they're trying to get the others involved. So yeah, I would play with it a little bit. You don't go too crazy, but you have that recency bias sort of egg on your face. If he just goes off, you're like, why am I so jaded? But I do think there's an element of, it's not like he's been cold. He's just not shooting. And Luka's been trying to get going and get the knee warm or whatever it is. So I would look at first quarter under props for sure.
Okay, now looking to SGA and his rebounds, he's gone 9, 12, and 10 in the first three games. He's at 7.5 for game four. Do we like the over?
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a max play on it on the website and the app, and I just think these odds makers are a little sort of stubborn, but I don't blame them. It's just like his season averages are lower, but he's playing more minutes. And just the significance and the importance of the playoffs, I think he's crashing the boards a little more, especially when Chet Holmgren's lurking on the perimeter. So SGA just logging minutes. He's really the only guy playing great on that team consistently. And they finally moved the prop from 6.5 to 7.5. But because of that, like, I think I would make it like 8.5 or 9.5. I really would, because he's just been a rebounding machine. Now, I will say the 10th rebound came on literally the last second when they missed a shot at the buzzer. So it should have landed 9. So maybe 7.5 is the right number finally, but the juice is low. But what's happening is you can get alternate lines. So they'll put up props for like 10 rebounds and 12, and it's just like ridiculous the how much juice. Now they've corrected. So last game, a double-double was plus 260. Now it's 205. For 10-plus rebounds, which is essentially the double-double, it's plus 160 instead of, like $3 or whatever. But one thing I did, and I was really heavy on it in the last game, and the odds were like anywhere between 27-1 to like 15-1 is triple double. Because if I believe he's obviously going to get the points, he's going to get about 30. So if he's going to get like 10 rebounds, and who knows, like in game one, he was an assist and a rebound away from a triple double. In game two, he was two assists away, and same for game three. So he's right there. And if his teammate could hit a darn shot, he's probably going to get the assist. So I would actually not only bet the triple-double at like 14-1, 18-1, I would bet like a couple units on it. I think this thing should be like 6-1. So, I mean, he's getting the points, and he's right. Maybe he misses both rebounds and assists, but it's going to be because it's 8, not because it's like 5. So if you're going to get there maybe overtime and just, you know, you have like a little bit of a game, and let's say some of these passes to threes, and they go in, it's like, okay, so now the assists. So you can really... I just think they're shaded to the under on this, and what they're doing is trying to bait public action, but I actually think there's value here, and it's not just like, you know, the square play. Oh, we like to bet things to happen. Like, there's actually line value on this, so I would press on this, actually.
Load up on the triple-double, okay. And last but not least, PJ Washington, the three ball has been his friend as of late, 5 in game 3, 7 in game 2. His props at 2.5. For game four. Why yeah. not?
And overs minus 105. I mean, it's really just an odds maker asleep at the wheel. And that's okay, because they have a million props to put up, and they're just not immersed in like one series. Like, for example, obviously, you know, we've lived in Vegas, we've covered this stuff, so I have a relationship with some of these odds makers. And I texted an odds maker because they had an index bet, like, who's going to lead this game in assists? And it was the Pacers and Knicks starting lineups. And in game two, TJ McConnell off the bench had 12 and led. So I was like, well, what happens if McConnell does it again? He's like, oh, let me talk to the trading team. And they actually they added him to the index. But like, sometimes they just don't see things, right? It's just, there's so much going on. So I just think they look at PJ Washington's season-long stats, but he's really become, like, they're making him shoot. And the volume was even there in game one, and he only made two. So I think this is, you know, get out the hammer. I mean, he's going to shoot a bunch. And if he doesn't, so what? It's not like he's not a typical shooter, and it's not like in round one he was shooting a bunch as well. So he's there, and he's been playing great, and he's all fired up. He's a Dallas native, and he's just, like, all, like, ready to rock. And this is, like, his dream to play for his Mavs. So he's fired up, and Luke is finding him, and the other guys are a little unreliable, like Dante Exum's minutes coming down. I know they play different positions, but this is what Dallas is doing, and they're at home, and they're feeling themselves. I think this line should be 3.5 and juice to the over. It's 2.5 and low juice.
All right, so I think we've covered all our bases here with this one, as we just gave props ahead of game four between OKC and Dallas. We are hitting the hardwood with a little fast break in the NBA. In the East, it's game four between the Cavs and the Celtics. The Celtics with a 2-1 lead, and they are favored by 8 in Cleveland with the total at 208. They got to get this.
Well, at least you're breathing a sigh of relief, our resident Celtics fan. Okay. The spot screamed Boston in game three. I don't think it screams Boston in game four, but the problem is I still think Cleveland's very good. I mean, they start Max Strus, who's just not an efficient player, and he gives you no defense. Donovan Mitchell's been fantastic, but Garland's been disappointing. Obviously, the Allen injury is a factor. Mobley's been great at stretches, but I just don't know if he's ready to carry a team with Mitchell for a 1-2 punch against this sort of offensive juggernaut in Boston. I lean Celtics, but the spot, like the incentivized, I've said it before, but old adage in betting, like the best thing to bet on is a focused favorite. Like that's the whole thing. So if you can get a favorite where the math says, oh, this is the point, you know, they're kind of, you know, blazing, your guns blazing, then they're going to be awesome. And they, I mean, it was a couple possessions they covered by, but that's why it's so key to have that situation. So here you might get them a little relaxed. I'm not saying they're going to lose like they did in game two off a win, but I'm just not in a rush to lay 8 points on the road. But I think Cleveland's a little better than others give them credit for. I was like, you know, if you kind of look at some of these players and like they're actually, I guess I'm just comparing them to that banged up version of Miami in game in the first round. Like obviously they have star power potential with Mitchell and some of them, like they are pretty solid, but the Celtics have the want to, they can beat you a lot of different ways. But the Celtics without Porzingis, Cleveland at home, and they're getting 8. I think it's the max I can do is a lean for this spot. I just don't think the handicapping spot favors them.
Okay. And any player props or any props in general?
I've tried to get cute with some player props and it's just not happening. Like Derek White had 5 assists in each of the first 2 games of the series. So I bet over 3.5 and 4.5 in game three. So it's tough because as you know, they shoot a bunch of threes and they just pass the ball a bunch and it's wherever the open man. So the defense, how it rotates. Now, I think Tatum had more of an initiative off the loss, and he was kind of lethargic in game one. I should have been anticipating a really good performance in game three. Now, I anticipate maybe Jaylen Brown to have a big game, but I just think because of that balanced offense and that anyone can shoot, I mean, Derek White could go for 7 threes. I just think it's a less predictable situation. So I would say you kind of have to pass unless maybe, you know, you find like just if you're going to play the same prop through the rest of the series, then maybe go for it. I will say on the other side of things, I do think Donovan Mitchell's, like, so a lot of these books have who's going to lead the game in whatever category, points, rebounds, and they have different indexes. And I think Mitchell, I was a little reluctant in games 2 and 3 just because Derek White can go off like he did in game one. But Mitchell's, like, they're going to have, like, Boston's going to have a bunch of guys with three made threes, some fours. Like, Mitchell's going to get 5 and maybe more. So I would bet his over made threes because I think he knows he has to shoot them. So I don't care what his regular season numbers are. He's going to shoot more because it's Boston and that he's going to make a bunch. And I think he was like 4-5 of 12 or something like that. And maybe it's just incredible volume between these two teams. So I do think Mitchell, as the series has gone on, I think is becoming a little bit more predictable. So I feel comfortable on that front with Mitchell, like over made threes and then maybe the index bet if there's not like minus money, depending on the juice.
Okay, so a few things to consider, including player props for this Celtics-Cavs game 4 matchup. You're wondering what's the move in the MLB? We've got your answer, and we are looking at the A's at the Astros. The Astros priced at minus 180 for this matchup, despite having someone on the bump with a not-so-great ERA. Spencer Arrighetti, what are we making of this?
Yeah, I think it's one of these things you don't overthink. And you're right. His ERA is over 8.5 or near 8.5 this year. He gave up 5 earned in his last outing. Now they're hosting, so they're a little bit edge at home. The bad team in Oakland A's, but they've been a little frisky this year at times. But they have Ross Stripling going. He gave up 5 earned in his last outing, too. So for me, I can't lay that much lumber. It's a little bit lower at some other books, so it's in the 170 range, but still very high. And I don't want to bet on Oakland to like win. I'm looking at the first 5 over. Just isolate the starting pitching. We've talked about it a bunch. That's the beauty of some of this baseball. You can bet on, in this case, Arrieta or Stripling's total hits allowed, total outs recorded, like under, because they're not going to last, earned runs allowed, or just the first 5 over. I would probably do, not probably, but I think of all these, I lean to the over 4.5 runs in the first 5 innings, but it's juiced at -140, but I like the value there just because I think one of these guys can give up that much. So in case you get the rogue, like, good outing from Stripling where he goes 6 innings, 1 earned or something, you can get 4 earned in the first 5 innings from the other guy. So, and if they throw a pitcher's duel, hey, guess what? You might lose a bet. It's fine. Like, this is not, I'm not saying like this is, I have tomorrow's newspaper in my hand and then you have to bet this, but just with all these things, all these boxes checked, like, you got to play the over. I would never even remotely consider the under. I think that if you have to play the side, I would play Oakland or maybe get cute in the first 5 plus a half, something like that. But this Astros team, like, the bats are waking up a little bit, but still, I just think it's more about the pitching. And this Oakland lineup's not terrible. They have some bats.
Yeah.
They can smack around this guy for sure. Now, he got ripped by the Yankees, but I think he'll be, not that he's great at home, but he'll maybe settle down a little bit against Oakland, but I don't think that much.
Okay, so look to the first 5 for the A's at the Astros.